I'm really happy to, of course, welcome my better half, first of all, with enough distance today. So, you know, football-wise, we are not friends right now. Since we are so popular, we're now working with live audience as well. We have exactly one person watching today. It's Sonja in the background, so welcome, Sonja, as well. And the star of our show today, and the SVP of Audit Operations, HSSE and Sustainability, and some call him the godfather of Uniper AI, Egemen Lipinski. Welcome, Egemen.
Thank you, Florian. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you for joining us today. We will discuss a little bit your role, of course, AI, which is a really interesting topic right now. We will discuss how we met and how actually this, you know, came into place. But we want to know a little bit about the persons as well. And that brings me to our famous icebreaker question. And I give you a few hints of what it could be, and maybe you can guess it. So going through your vita and also doing some research on the internet and talking to a few people, I know that one place is in your heart, and to let you guess, it has its name became that place in 1930. 16 million people are officially there, and it's also in Europe and in Asia. Does something come to mind?
Istanbul.
Exactly.
It could only be Istanbul.
Yes,
and
exactly.
The famous bridge that connects Asia and Europe.
Yes. Yeah? Can you maybe share with us, since, you know, I'm a big fan of Istanbul myself, because I married into a Turkish family, and I usually stop by Istanbul once or twice a year, so it's close to my heart as well, and I'm sure it's close to your heart as well. Can you maybe share a little bit?
It is there? Indeed, yes. First of all, I'm the outcome of a Prussian-Istanbul relationship.
Okay.
So my father was born in Königsberg, today's Kaliningrad, and my mother, she is from Istanbul, and I was born in Istanbul.
All right.
But raised then in Heidelberg and in the region of Baden, Karlsruhe. And I'm very much connected to Istanbul, not only privately, but also professionally. I had positions in Istanbul in three different industries, in banking, in chemicals, and then finally also in energy. And on a private side, my wife, she is from Istanbul, and all my children, I have four children, they have German and also Turkish nationality.
Okay, good deal. I mean, I only visit Istanbul, and I'm always amazed, and I always wonder, how is living in Istanbul? That must be a completely different scenario, right?
Yeah, it is a completely different city. It's on the one side very crazy because of the heavy traffic. Mm-hmm. So you always complain, but at the same time you are fascinated every day by the beauty of this city because it combines very old culture and history with super modern structures.
Yeah.
And you find this in every corner of Istanbul. So you never get bored when strolling the streets of Istanbul.
Absolutely.
Not to mention the beauty of the Bosphorus and the good food.
Yes, all the food is it's one of my favorite as well. It's amazing. So, you know, we share that commonality then. You know, it's a good combination. My son is then also the product of, you know, Turkish rooted.
I didn't know that about
my wife. Yeah, she has Turkish roots, and you know, me as a German. So the outcome is quite nice,
yes.
I think. Egemen means the ruler, I think, right?
Yeah, kind of. The ruler or somebody who brings in order and a well-established organization.
Yeah. Okay, well, that fits quite well.
It kind of fits also to my today's profession, I have to say. I haven't thought about it earlier, but
it's all meant to be.
It's destiny, basically.
Yeah, exactly. You know, talking about your professional life as well, you know, I just mentioned your job title, so, you know, Audit Operations, HSSE, and Sustainability. What does the role, you know, kind of bring with it, and how is the connection to AI, so artificial intelligence?
As long as my official title is as wide is also my area of responsibility. So I'm doing audits together with my team in the area of COO and CEO with regards to HSSE and S, and both areas are huge. So we audit the whole product life cycle of our power plants. We look into every aspect of HSSE and sustainability. And it's an exciting job because it's an everyday challenge with, with new subjects that we have to deal with. And in this responsibility, we have to understand in the forefront data. We deal with a lot of data which we receive in different forms. And we have to understand the meaning behind it, the structure in itself, and taking out the right conclusions from this data. And in doing so, I have always been looking into tools or other means that could help us in our daily tasks of performing audits. And that's also how I came across AI. When I saw it the first time 1.5 years ago, when ChatGPT was launched into the markets, I kind of thought, oh, that could be helpful in our daily tasks. And it really is. Just to give you a few examples, one of our main tasks is to perform interviews. Like you interview me, and I feel now in a very uncomfortable situation. Now I can better understand and resonate how our interview partners feel. These interviews need to be structured, well-structured, prepared. They need to be documented. They need to be translated and from German into English.
I hope you take notes.
And all of this you can do easier and faster with the help of AI. And that's only one example of how we are using AI at internal audit. There are so many other examples. Maybe you heard about the usage of avatars. We are using now a new form of communication for presenting the results of our audits. And by that, we reach deeper into the organization with a higher impact. So there are many, many aspects that that help us by using AI.
So basically optimizing processes and stuff like that.
It helps you to optimize your processes. And at the same time, it accelerates. You have a higher speed. And the content has a higher quality. Just to give you another example, I can't be part of all the many interviews. So, but sometimes I really want to understand what was exactly spoken during an interview. In the past, I had to relate on somebody transporting the message to me and rely on its accuracy. Today, with the help of AI, I can look into the transcripts, into the summaries, and really see which words were spoken during that interview. That's a big, big, advantage also for me as a line manager.
Good deal. Well, let's maybe take a step back and also, talk about how we actually met and you guys met earlier.
Yeah, exactly. And Eggman, you already mentioned that. And I also got to know you this way, that you are always keen on understanding and exploring new technologies. And that's also how we met some years ago when it was about the topic of process mining, which you really pursued and which has now been implemented in several Uniper power plants, actually. But then Florian and you are only met rather recently. So maybe you can shed some light on what was the background of that.
Yeah, certainly. The German organization of the Das Deutsche Institut der Innenrevision.
I'm sure there's no translation.
The German Institute of Internal Auditing approached me with the request of Eggman, why don't you attend one of our conferences and speak about AI talent acquisition at internal audit? And I agreed to this. And then I thought, my God, what will I tell them? And then I thought about all the videos that you have been taken and you streamed, and I thought, wouldn't it be a good idea to have a video where we introduce our AI talents that we have at Internal Audit. These are all young students that we hired from the universities. They are studying AI. One colleague did his PhD in cloud computing, others in data science and working on AI. Now we have even a working student doing his master thesis on the Copilot rollout. And instead of me, like right now, speaking about them, I thought, let's ask Florian and Daniel, couldn't we create a short video and let them talk? And that was a great success. I took that video with me to this conference. I showed it, and it created quite a lasting impact, as such that the general manager of the DIIR approached me after that presentation and asked me, "Egelman, that was impressive. Can you help us? We want to change the image of the internal audit function on a global scale in Germany."
Yeah.
Because we are considered as old-fashioned, backwards-oriented, and what I just saw is you are future-oriented.
Yeah.
And you use young people in your profession, and that's exactly what we want to intend in the future.
Yeah.
Help us in achieving that. And that's now what we are talking with the DIIR, and thankfully Sabine from comms, Uta from corporate branding, HR department, they are helping us in that journey to help the DIIR to change their image.
Perfect.
So it created quite a wave, that video.
Yeah, good to hear.
And also you, I believe, can be proud of the result.
I remember when we received the email, like, I think it came from Sabine as well, like, can you maybe help Egelman? And we were brainstorming, like, okay, internal audits, AI, it was still very...
How does it fit together?
Abstract for us.
Exactly.
And I will never forget that. We had an initial Teams call with you. Uh-huh. And to just discuss on what you want to communicate and so on and so forth. And when I hung up, I called Daniel immediately after. I was like, we need Egelman, because he was so enthusiastic about the topic and about the work. I was like, wow, this is really, really a great example of, you know, somebody working for this company that is enthusiastic and, you know, is going the extra mile. And AI was the perfect example. And we had so much fun, you know, filming that video and meeting all of the talents there. But now that you mention it, would you say that Uniper in the market is a pioneer when it comes to that? Are we on the forefront?
It definitely is. We are riding in front of the wave, and it's marvelous to see in what short time we achieved this. Thinking back 1.5 years when I asked into the organization, guys, where is dealing with AI? James, I had the opportunity to get to know him, was already using AI in the CODIS team and quite successfully. But there was no wider, broader application, not yet. So that happened 1.5 years ago. Today, we are in the midst of the rollout of Copilot to 8,000 employees. And we are leading this initiative alongside Coca-Cola. And then there is a big gap and others are following us. So Uniper, in a very short time, took that decision, and it is a very brave decision. And I admire Damien, but also our board of management, that they agreed to it, that we had the vision that this is really something that can make a difference for Uniper. And I believe this, not only for Uniper as an organization as a whole, but for each of us. If we want to stay relevant as employees, as an organization in that competitive market, we need to adapt to this new technology. It's a disruptive technology, it comes with risks, but it comes with bigger opportunities.
Absolutely.
No, and that's really impressive to see how this has developed so rapidly, and now has, well, we talked about Copilot also, which now has been rolled out to basically everyone at Uniper. So that's really impressive to see that. But now when we are talking about artificial intelligence, we also need to sort of address some concerns or dangers there might be, if you so want, which is basically security reasons. So Eamon, what would you say, how secure is it to use AI, and what should be considered if one wants to use AI?
Also here we are in a great position, because Copilot is secure. Imagine your email communications, they are secure. And Copilot and the usage of AI through Copilot has the same security features like your email communication, because we are under the same Microsoft tenant and we don't step outside of it. If you would use ChatGPT, OpenAI, you could always say that's kind of risky, because your data that you input there stays there.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I'm not so much concerned about this, because we are already used to use Google. Nobody of us would use our personal data for Google researches, right? Yeah. So the same responsibility and the same treatment of sensitive data applies to these AI tools as well. But within the Microsoft tenant, with using Copilot, we are on the safe side. I'm more concerned about other risks that AI brings along, and this is deepfakes. Yeah, you have maybe seen the high quality and the variety of applications that are now available basically for free in the internet. And they could be misused, and there are already examples of misusages. But for us to protect ourselves against deepfakes, we need to understand how deepfakes are produced and which tools are used for it. Without that understanding, you could become, I became already a victim of a deepfake. You remember maybe that picture of the Pope in that white winter suit. I really thought that is real.
That was a
deep fake. But by engaging with AI and learning about AI, you become resistant, and you create your own protection against becoming a victim of deep fakes.
And I'm sure if your eye is sharpened in that regard, you always looking for something. I think that's a good first protection in the first place. Check with the audience. Was your security question answered?
Yes, I think so.
Good. So thumbs up from the audience. But staying on that topic, can you tell us a little bit more, despite what you already named, where is it currently used at Uniper? And how can people use it?
So all of us, we are able to use it. Copilot is embedded in every Microsoft product, be it Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Teams, and Outlook. So it's according to your own preferences, to your own use cases. For example, I'm not anymore an Excel type of person. I'm more a Word type of person, because I deal with text. In your case, it might be different. Maybe you have other preferences. So find out where your use cases are, and learn about the usage of AI, and go really deep into it, and try to understand how you can take out the best benefit for you. And this is now possible for all of us at Uniper. We are in a very, very unique and in a very early position of using a very powerful instrument. And that will also change your working style, my working style, the working style of all of us, and we will become automatically more productive people.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know my core job is to report on commercial topics, and I know that trading is, for example, using algorithms for trading as a support, with quite impressive numbers so far. And of course, we as a communication department see that it's, slowly, but we're getting there, that it's, influencing our work as well. And, Synthesia is one thing that we've seen on Ping to a certain extent. It's a software to do what exactly?
Yeah, Synthesia is another AI tool. We use Synthesia for AI-supported video generation. Mm. Basically, it's about avatars that you cannot distinguish anymore from a real human being. So if you see an avatar from Synthesia reporting about our audit result, you really think that's a real person and real person speaking. There's a real person behind it, but it is now powered by AI. Yeah. And the quality, especially of the next-gen avatars, is so high, it's very difficult to distinguish, is this now AI-generated content or is that a real human person speaking there? And in order to communicate in our profession audit results effectively, we use these avatars. Yeah. Because within a very short time frame, you can deliver messages with a higher impact, much, much more better than I could do it. And you can repeat it multiple times as much as needed. Yeah? You have a one-time effort, and then you can multiply the benefit of it. And this is also for us, and also for the perception of the internal audit function, a game changer. Yeah? So yeah. We are using a very innovative tool. It helps us also to change that mindset and the perception of internal audit as like a traditional function, always backwards oriented, looking into. No, we all of a sudden are recognized in a different way.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, we can just say from a communication standpoint, you know, you came to us with that tool or introducing it, and we're like, wow, this is impressive. And I know that I think compliance already used it for a training video. Yeah. So that maybe people are familiar with that. I didn't see the difference at the beginning. You know, somebody had to tell me, hey, this is an avatar. And by the time this potpourri will be published, we will have published a video out of the business on ammonia that somebody out of the business created and did a great job doing that. So we're using this as an example, but we also have to say from a communication standpoint, especially working for a company like Uniper, we are now having a lot of discussions on how we frame it, because the danger is, of course, that if it's available to everybody, that people just take off and do their own videos. And we have a brand standard as well that we kind of need to frame videos like that, because used internally and potentially externally. So we have to make sure to put this, you know, in the right framework. And this is something we're doing as a communication department right now, taking a look at, hey, we have this new tool. How can we best use it for our purposes as well? And how can we align it with our brand standards as well? Yeah. So I think Synthesia is a great, great example of what the current and the future status looks like.
Yeah, I also believe so. And I also think and support that there should be a certain regulation for us and a guidance how to use it in our professional life.
Yeah. But the outcome is amazing. So, you know, Daniel and I are getting into that topic as well now.
Yeah, exactly. At least we're trying. Let's put it this way. And also there we can see how rapidly this has changed, because the first generation of avatars, and we talked about that as well.
Yeah.
Well, you could very easily see that these are, you know, artificially created avatars. It was not, well, it was quite good, but it was off quite a bit. And now with the next generation, it's really hard to really still see the difference. Okay, is this now really an avatar? Is this a real human being? Which, on the one hand, is really impressive. On the other hand, is also, a bit scary, maybe even. But then we are also back at, okay, we need to understand how these things work to best be prepared and to be able to distinguish this.
Right? Yeah. The beauty behind this, if I may add to what you just said, is we are learning and developing ourselves on the field of AI together with the applications. They are becoming better. We are on the journey together, and this is a very unique chance, opportunity for us to taking part in that journey, being on the forefront of that development.
Yeah, it's it's always interesting when I talk to my parents about AI, and they were like, hey, we're too old for that. And they're in their mid-70s right now. And I say, it's too old for us. You know, we're too old for that topic. We won't get in touch with it. And I was like, nah, I think you will get in touch with AI.
I had a personal experience with my father. He was born in 1940. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, Egerman, you speak so much about AI. Can't you please show it to me? What does it do? And actually, he comes from a data science background. In his whole life, he worked in with data applications. And then I asked him, okay, Dad, what do you want to know? Mm-hmm. And he said, I mentioned my parents, my father's is from Königsberg. I want to know about the history of Königsberg. So I typed in a prompt, and I explained to ChatGPT. I did not use Copilot; it was for private purposes. I used a prompt that explained the situation in which I was with my father. So somebody born 1940 in Königsberg wants to know about the history, and then the answer it delivered was suited exactly for him as the audience, and ChatGPT understood how to structure the answer in such a way that it made my father cry.
Mm. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And in that moment, I understood, oh my God, what power is behind it. Yeah. The power that could be used for the good of it. But we have also to be careful how influential it could be also in on the negative side. So it always comes to risks and opportunities and benefits, but we have to understand it, and that's why we need to work with it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And we talked a lot about, you know, really learning how to work with it and using this. Let's say there's someone in our audience who hasn't had many experiences with artificial intelligence as of now, and they want to now engage deeper into this topic. Are there any tips, any recommendations you would give them? How to start, whom to approach, what maybe to try out, anything?
Yeah, I think the best tip I could give is, first of all, to open up towards the idea of using AI professionally, but also in private life. It's a very helpful tool. And then to see which application is best suited for my personal use cases. So first of all, imagine the letter T. Yeah? You go wide and scan the landscape and identify which of the applications, be it within Copilot or in your private life with other applications, is most suitable for you. And then go deep, really, really learn how to use it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I started using Copilot, for example, for text, for articles on Ping as well. If I'm looking for a certain wording, and you know, we always communicate in German and in English, and if you want to have a close one-to-one translation, which is not always the point, but I think Copilot does a good word of sharpening certain things as well.
Yeah, it does. It helps you improving the quality of your texts. Yeah. If you want to transport a message short and concise. We as non-native speakers in English, we are struggling with that task.
Yeah.
I'm every day amazed on how much additional value I can take out of Copilot by using that assistance.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong in doing it, and just be open. You don't need to be ashamed that you used Copilot for improving your output. Speak about openly, share your success stories.
Yeah.
There's a tendency, I realized, that you are more likely to talk about things that do not work so well.
Yeah.
Change that approach, speak about the things that really worked for you and make others participate in that experience. And that's how we can accelerate, I believe, the successful application of Copilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe just to continue with Copilot for once, because I also tried that, especially when it comes to a word. And what really helped me is to start with something rather small and then develop from develop the output from there. Okay, well, that's quite good. And now I want to have it in a certain way. I want to have it phrased a bit differently. I want to have it sound more natural or something like this. So this way I don't have to come up with like a whole extensive prompt, but then maybe sharpen the result. Yeah. There is, so start with something small and then dive deeper into, okay, how do you want to have the result, basically. So that's just one experience.
Good example of prompt engineering. You start with a simple prompt and then on an iterative way, yeah, you make the output better and better and better, so that at the end you are satisfied with it. And that's the key. Yeah? You need to communicate with the AI. So it's not only one question and one result. Chat with it. Copilot is the same methodology. This is also something that can be learned. And we provide learnings. We have tutorials with the help of avatars for effective prompt engineering. So some of our functions, they use already these tutorials. I make some advertisement. If there's anybody out there who wants to benefit from it, just let us know. And what I also experienced is that the combination of different technologies, but in addition with the human interaction, that makes the output even more impactful. Yeah. So we not only use the avatars, we use it as a support. But still, we are in the driving seat.
Yeah,
this we should never forget.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, Egemen, thank you very much for all of the insights. I think the people out there now understand why we needed to interview you as a person and also on that topic. So thank you very much for sharing all of this. And you know, I'm sure that people can reach out to you if they have any ideas when it comes to that as well. And it would be nice, maybe with some time in between, to do a follow-up on how things are progressing. And until then, we keep the fingers crossed that everything works out the way you would like it to be.
Thank you, Florian. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Egemen.
Audience happy as well? Okay, we get some clapping here. Thank you very much for watching. Hope to see you next time again. Until then, bye-bye.